All righty. I'm going to begin a new series today. I'm going to probably be just three parts. At least that's what I'm shooting for. It's called Resurrecting the Beast of Revelation. So, and I began working on this. Actually, my mind's been working on this concept now for about a year, trying to develop the beast. Because when we look at the beast, you know, the church has accurately portrayed the beast and the understanding of God's given for decades. And for that matter, many churches, they got a pretty good grasp of the beast. But there's an area that's been missing that we've just moved into that I think God's beginning to show us right now. So I want to talk about that. In Revelation 13, verse 3, it says, And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. I believe we've just moved into this period of time. That period of time actually began in 1929. It's been on a deathbed, laying there, recovering. And I think our president just gave the beast power, everything it needs to get it off that bed now, and to begin to make the world wonder what is going on. I'm going to do it in three parts. All right. In part one, I'm calling this today point of origin. The point of origin of the beast. We're going to track the beast through history. So for some of you, this might be a little bit of a reminder, a refresher. But I think it's still going to be important to understand that we'll probably bring out some things today that you hadn't understood or thought about in the same focus as I'm trying to deliver this today. The second sermon is going to be point of time. Now, this is a really interesting one that I'm going to be delivering because we're talking about tracking the beast today. This is current events, and there'll be a lot of news nuggets and insights information that I'll pull into this sermon so that we can understand where we are today as the beast begins to evolve into a life form, so to speak, actually affecting the entire world. And then the third sermon is going to be, I'm calling, the point of destiny. Point of destiny is tracking the beast in prophecy in that whatever years God gives us before Christ returns, those prophetic events that are yet to take place and how the beast will affect our lives before the return of Jesus Christ. Now, we're told of the beast in two primary persons. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a little bit of a reminder, and then we're going to move into the sermon. First, we're told the information about the beast, beginning with the prophet Daniel, and then at the close of the Bible with the book of Revelation by the apostle John. Daniel gives us the beast looking backwards through history and the development of time. So as we look at Daniel, when he looks back, you can see each country as it developed and overtook the last country, bringing up to the Roman country. And then John gives us the beast looking forward in time. So if you're standing here and you're looking at these two persons who gave us this information, you can see where it was, how it transformed to where it's going. That's what we're looking at. So when you see John's beast, you see all the beasts almost encapsulated into a single beast. But they're actually two beasts. It is in this form that the beast at the end time that the church has taught us throughout the decades. Right? We understand all of that so far, but what we didn't have was the information of the beast coming together to reach the accomplished state. In other words, when we look at John, it's in the finished state. It's at the time when it's already been resurrected. It's already attacking the church, is causing havoc around the world. But what it doesn't tell us, how did it get there? If it was dead, so to speak, and it was brought back to life, how did it get back to life? What's taking place? What events have to occur that affect you and I? Because you see, if you're alive when Jesus Christ returns, when you look forward at that finished or accomplished beast according to what John saw, you have to live through the transition to bring you there. So it'd be kind of important to understand what's going on as we go there. So now, let's do a little quick reminder here. I'm going to use this chart here, but I'm going to use it again later. I believe today now you're going to begin to see why it was so important of the timelines for the last 7 years, all the way back to 2015. So now, this is a chart that I brought out in the 2020s, the decade of change. So what we talked about here is this. We know that we have to get through the SEALs. We know that they're ahead. But how much time do we have till the SEALs? And it almost seems like some of the SEALs had already begun. But now things have settled down again. So did they begin or not? Or is that the warning for the SEALs that are just at our doorstep? See, what the Bible doesn't give us is from where you are today to here, to when they begin. There's no information about how much time there is. So, what we're looking at is God going to cut time short and move the SEALs up? Is he going to move them back? He says at one point in Revelation, he's going to extend time. He said when they're about to blow the seventh trump, he said, go again and warn the nations. We're looking at this right now. You're in this territory of unknown. It's kind of like the children of Israel. Remember we talked about crossing the Jordan? Is that they were about to go into the promised land. They know what they had to accomplish. They had to accomplish overtaking the entire nations that was in there. They didn't know how they were going to do that at the time. All they were told is to trust God and follow him. You know, that's where you are today. You don't know exactly how you're going to do that. But you do know that you're going to have to be close to God. You're going to have to trust him. And you're going to have to follow that spirit to wherever it takes us. And you don't know how long that's going to be. So what is going to happen now and how we are going to get there is the unknown. That's what I'm beginning to talk about today. So here, we see the persecution of the elect. Now, when I remember, and I've gone back in my history and my recollection of the church teaching the beast, it always seems to pick up about here. Talking about the beast going after the elect, the 3.5 years, the time of persecution. You know, it controlled the whole world. But by the time it got here, there's been a vast amount of time of development that we never went into. Think about it. Go back in your notes. You won't hardly find it. You know, you talk about armies surrounding Jerusalem. No, that's true, but that's back here somewhere. So there's a lot of things that are talked about that are after the beast is already formed, not before. There's going to be the 10 nations, there's going to be Europe, all these things coming together. So we've always known that the elect would be the persecuted by the elect, by the beast. We didn't have the events that gave the beast the power. I believe God's showing it to his church today. This is what I want to begin to go into today. So I want to pick up a few things that we hadn't thought about before. So we're going to cover this aspect of the beast in two ways. First, what is the beast? So what do you know of the beast that you can go describe and share with your friends and family? It's important because they're going to want to know what's going on. When you look at the news and terror comes across your face and say, whoa, and they're looking at you and say, what happened? And you can be able to describe the event you just saw in a biblical term and understanding they can deal with. All right, so what is the beast? So it's important to understand who the beast is. And two is the resurrection of the beast. When it comes back into power, what's it going to do and how it's going to react? So the importance of the timing of the resurrection of the beast is very important to you and I today. That's where we're beginning to go into. The problem is Revelation actually gives us two beasts, not one. I believe we've already covered the beginning of the second beast in News Nuggets and Insight a couple months ago. Who can tell me what we covered? I don't want to do that now because that's a Bible study. But if you pay attention, you'll see what's going on now, because you see the Pope has already begun to create the second beast. While the United Nations, or the EU, and the rest of the world is coming together to form the first beast. And the second beast, the Pope's going to be bringing in to control and to ride the beast of Revelation. But there are two beasts. So if you go into Revelation chapter 13, you will find both beasts listed. And the second beast tells everyone, go worship the first beast. and he gives power and authority. So now, before we do, I thought we ought to re-sharpen our axes before I actually got into the sermon. You ever hear this story? It's been said over a century, 100 years has been out there. It's been told in several different ways. And I said, I'm going to share that with everyone today. Because as you go back into this, you want to resharpen your axe. And this is the story. There's a story of a newly hired lumberjack who felled more trees on his first day than anyone else. But by the fourth day, however, his output had fallen so far that his supervisor asked him what was wrong. The man said, "I don't understand. I've been working harder than before, but I'm cutting less timber." So the supervisor asked the lumberjack how often he sharpened his axe. And he replied, "I have too many trees to cut. I don't have time to sharpen my axe." You probably got the point. You know, when you begin your calling, that very first time you get to finally begin to learn things, you get so excited. You go to God every day in prayer, in meditation. You're asking God for guidance and direction. And that zeal is like you're on fire. Something happens after that, though. Your zeal carries you, but you don't go back to the axe sharpener. You begin to go on your own speed, your own motivation. You find your prayers get less. Your meditation gets less. And before you know it, you're felling less trees than before. And you wonder where all that zeal went. At the end time, God says, return to that first love. It's not enough to want to. You have to do it. If you're going to get through to the end time, and everything I'm telling you today is for encouragement, because God's showing us in advance what he's doing. Why does he do that? And I showed you in the last sermon, so that we would believe. In other words, God loves us enough to tell us in advance what's going to happen so that we don't get hurt, so that we can be protected to bring us into the kingdom. But we've got to go back to God every single day. All day if you can. Remember David meditated on God's law day and night. You know, you think about that. You have man after God's own heart. You think about the things that David wrote. It's like, it's just amazing the things he wrote. He wrote one time, I use this as a justification for my anger, so I don't use it that way anymore. He says, "I hate with a perfect hate." It's in there. Go read it. A perfect hate. And I got mad at somebody. "I hate you perfectly." It was just an excuse, and of course I had to repent because I was really mad. But in other words, even with that, he realized that there was a way to become angry and sin not. So there's a way things that you can do things and you can't. But the point is, if you're not going to be close to God, you might as well just close your Bible and walk away. Because you're not going to make it. You can't get through this on your own. You're only going to get through this with Jesus Christ himself. You know, when you come before God, do you bring your very best? In other words, when you show up before God, you're coming before your king. What is God looking at when you're there? What's your appearance? What's your spirit inside of you? So God wants us to sharpen our axe all the time. So now, what perspective do you view the future? This is very important. Because you see, we all got ideas from the past, things we've been taught, or maybe things we learned from other churches you brought into the church. What perspective do you bring in? I'm going to do a little name dropping here. And I'm doing this for a reason. This is not a bragging kind of thing, because I didn't even understand what was going on with a lot of my connections back when we began in 2015. Actually, 2014, when we began working with this. Our very first special was out of the mouth of two witnesses. Back in 2014 and 2015, the world was going crazy that they really thought. Now, there was always a hedge, but they really thought that Jesus Christ was coming back in 2015. I sat down and I interviewed Jonathan Kahn, Mark Biltz, Bill Salas, and Troy Duhon, who's from here from New Orleans, by the way. You know, he owns a lot of dealerships now. Every one of them honestly believed Jesus Christ was coming. back in 2015. And, of course, they were wise enough to say, well, you know, he may not. But if you talk to them off the record, they believed it. So there was tens of millions of people out there all over the place. And I wondered why God allowed this to come together. And even in this, God blessed us with the LaCie Broadcasting, which gave us 23 countries free for 7 weeks, for 1 hour a week, didn't charge us a thing to bring that message out. It brought me to areas that I'd never been before. And I didn't understand what and why, because every time I got with them, I didn't agree with them. So it was really perplexing, but God was opening doors, and I'm trying to figure out why. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe God's giving me a way that somewhere down the road they'll see what we teach. And we got to go on television in prophecy in the news with Bill, and we had a program there. Then we went through Prophecy Watchers, who's really big today. My point is, these are the biggest people in prophecy of the time around the country. Then by that evening, when I was in, I believe it was Utah, it might have been Kansas City, is we sat down at dinner with L.A. Marsouli. You might have seen him. He's the guy who talks about the Nephilim. If anybody talks about the giants, they always go to him. He's the leader of all that research. And I had dinner with them. There was like six of them. One of them was a financial guy with, you know, worth tons of money, getting them off the ground with a new website and a new television system they were developing. And let me tell you, these guys were sharp. You don't get to those categories and not know what you're talking about. And the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm wondering, I'm asking God, why am I here? And I can tell you today why. I couldn't 7 years ago. Because you see, all of this is being brought to the table with the end time prophecy. And all of the conclusions that they bring are wrong. And they're the leaders in the world, in the field of prophecy, in the Protestant churches today. See, at that time, there was prophecy summits. There were prophecy conferences. They had prophecy stuff going on all over because the church was waking up because they honestly thought it was the end. You're going to see this again. You might begin to see it in 2022, at the end of the next Shemitah year. If not then, you're definitely going to see it by 2028 if Christ hasn't returned. So you need to be founded and you need to be rooted because the internet's going to be filled with prophecies that have absolutely no bearing on truth. Absolutely no bearing. Why? Because what they bring to the table, they're starting from the wrong conclusions. When I was getting ready to go to one of these prophecy conferences, I got a phone call from the director, and the lady asked me, are you a pre-trib rap person? So what is a pre-trib rap? I never heard the phrase before. I said, a pre-trib rap. I said, what is that? And she says, oh, do you believe in the pre-trib rapture? I said, no, ma'am, I don't. She said, do you believe in the rapture? I said, no, ma'am, I really don't. I said, not the way y'all do. And they wouldn't let me in. Shut me down. Just shut me down. So then I began to realize that I was in the middle of something where I didn't belong. And I understand why today, because you see, it's important for you to stand your ground on what you know to be true. You got to hold fast to that because there's going to be a lot of people that are out there, might even be in your own family, who are beginning to understand they can see there's something going on around the world, that something's going to happen. And Satan's going to make this happen for people to be aware that because he knows he has a short time to deceive people. I come to the conclusion the primary reason they don't get the prophecies wrong, they don't get them right, is this. The ox knows its owner, the ass the master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people does not consider. It's because they don't know who they are. Because they go in with a preconceived idea that's wrong, the conclusions they come with out of it is also wrong. It's also wrong. So, what I'm trying to do today for you and I is to get us back to our roots, sharpen our axe, do a little bit of refining of what we already know, and see where it takes us going forward. So when you begin to do a research on a particular subject, in this case, the Bible or the beast in particular, you bring to the study what you've learned from the past. But if what you've learned in the past is wrong, then you've got a real problem. You know, sometimes a person coming to the truth is easier to convince them of the truth if they've never been involved with the church before. Because a person who's been founded in a Catholic faith or a Protestant faith or some, they struggle inside because of what they believe for all their life now is they got to go back and retrain themselves and re-educate. And the past prevents them from learning the future because they have preconceived ideas that are not true. All the time, that happens all the time. We don't need to go back to reprove most of what we have understood to be true, but we do need to verify or qualify what we know if we're going to add to what God is giving us today. In other words, I'm not going to go through all the basics with everybody. Hopefully you've got those basics already, but we want to build from where we're basically going. The key chapters, all right? So now, with all that said, let's begin. Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 are the key chapters in the Old Testament on the beast. So if you're fairly new in studying Bible and prophecy, this is the beginning of your notes. So I'm going to recommend between now and in a few weeks, because my normal speaking time will be in 2 weeks, but Joe will be here, so I'll miss that time. It'll be another week or so later that I'll be speaking. You got a couple weeks extra to go in, begin doing your homework, refresh your mind, and start looking into the beast. The Old Testament, chapters 2 and chapter 7. The New Testament is Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. Those are your primary chapters that deal with the beast. And of course, there's other things that we'll pull in that support those chapters. Daniel 2 is the key. Daniel is the key to understanding why it is important to understand the beast and its transformation through the centuries. Actually, I was going to read Daniel 2 today, just read the whole chapter. So you go read the whole chapter. And I didn't today because if I did that, I'm afraid I'd use up about 15 to 20 minutes or even 30 minutes of what I want to tell you today. And you can read it at home. But do it. Go back, and I would get you a fresh notebook, some paper, some binder, and start from scratch. Go right back to the very beginning. I'm going to tell you the story. I used to treasure my Bible that I made all my notes in, my reference points. It would bring me all over the Bible, and I had that thing for 20 some odd years or more. I was coming from church one day across the river. We was upstairs. And I put the kids in the car, and I'm buckling them all in. We're trying to get out because Mardi Gras is coming. People with parades everywhere. Got in, hurry up, zoom, took off. I got home. I left the briefcase in the parking lot with my Bible. I was depressed for days because that was the holy grail for me. All my notes and everything was in it. But something happened after that. When I began to read the Bible, my eyes didn't fall on what I already had written. It was a fresh page. In other words, if you got your notes in your Bible, do that. Just try it when you go home. You open up the Bible and you get it marked, your eyes fall to that mark. You miss what you haven't marked. So I began to look at the Bible with a whole new fresh revelation. And I'll go like, I didn't see that. But you've got the Bible walked all over the place, so you know you've read it. So I'm asking you to do that today. When you go home sometime this week, is begin reading chapter 2. Take it real slow. Ask your God to guide your mind, your thoughts, to go into what's being done there. A couple of scriptures I want to bring out in it is this. Daniel shows us that the prophecies of the beast are the governments. What we're dealing with is the governments at the end time. Everything you see is not about just religion, it's about governments and control. Even the beast and the pope is about government. It's the kingdom of this world, which is Satan's. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Everything there is about governments, it's about power, about control, it's about money, and controlling the dialogue of religion, which is what the Pope's doing. Daniel shows us it is God who sets up kings and removes kings. For anybody who's getting into politics, forget about it. Yeah, that's what they say up north. Forget about it. You know, I listen to the people up north talk like that. Forget about it. It's God who's going to set up the control. You want a certain party and it didn't get in? It wasn't God's will. Period. What difference does it make? You know where you're going. You know at the end. Read the end of Revelation. It's a great ending. It isn't about that who's in office at the time. It's about Jesus Christ. And God told you, come out of her, my people. I know you have to watch the news. You have to do certain things. And there's certain things you can do within certain structure. Usually on a local level, you'd probably do things. Look at the school boards. Even in the school board systems now, they're arresting people. I mean, throwing them on the ground, bringing them to jail because they're fighting all the changes that was going on with the wokeism movement across the nation. It's crazy. Daniel shows us it is God who reveals his secret matters and things that are in the dark. Isn't that incredible? So when God wants us to know it, he'll tell us. You don't have to worry about what you don't know. And I'm going to tell you something. This might surprise you. What I don't know could fill libraries. There's a lot of smirks in case you're wondering what's going on there. That's true. I mean, what we don't know could fill libraries. What's so amazing is when you read the Bible and you think you know a scripture, and then God opens up your mind and you say, I never saw that. And there's layers of understanding with same scripture. So what God's going to do, he's going to open up your mind and help you to understand. That's what he was doing with Daniel, with the king. Daniel 2:28 says this, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what he shall do at the latter days. Everything from Daniel 2 forward with that beast was written and recorded for you and I. Why? Because everything else was sealed to the latter days. Now, if that's not encouraging, I don't know what is. In other words, God's going to tell you what you need and help us to understand. In other words, that box that I put up there, like that unknown territory that we're in right now, the area that we don't know what's going on, God says, look, I'm going to fill in the blanks. God's filling in the blanks for us right now as we go forward. Now, let's take a look at the beast. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. So king, O king, saw, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold. So now we go back into the history books. We look for it. It's amazing is that how many churches pretty much all agree with this. Doesn't matter what church they are, they pretty much all agree with this. The head of gold was Babylon. He gives you the approximate dates of when that was. His breast and his arms were of silver, a less expensive grade of material. You know, you got gold, you got silver, and then you get into your cheaper grades as you go through. So the breast and the arms are silver. That's Persia from 539 to 311 BC. His belly and his thighs are brass. So then that thighs are brass, it'll be in Greece, from 331 to 168 B.C., and his legs of iron, and his feet part iron and part clay, and of course we know that as being the Roman nation. So that's what we're looking at from 168 to 476 B.C. All right, that's the power of Rome. So what we're looking at is you're going through and understanding this beast is through the centuries, you're seeing what nations took over the previous nation, and as they do, they grab the power and the strength from that previous nation and incorporate it into themselves. Right? This is what you find in Daniel chapter 2. This is the description of the kings, Daniel 2, 20 and 21. So Daniel said and answered, said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for his wisdom and his might are his. He changes the times and the seasons, he removes kings, and he sets up kings. So God is the one who's in charge. He is still in control. How bad, no matter what happens, what it looks like, God is the one who's still in control. Daniel 7. It's the same image now. He's now being portrayed as animals. Now it looks at it from a different perspective. Now it's already defined that's a kingdom. Now it's going to talk about the strengths of the kingdom. So the image described in Daniel 2 is repeated in 7 in the form of animals to describe the different kingdoms. All right, so now this is just an artist's rendition of Daniel 7 of the four beasts. Daniel 7:4 said, the first was like a lion and had the eagle's wings. And that's the head of Babylon. Second, Daniel 7:5. And behold, another beast, a second likened to a bear. The third beast, a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. Right, so that we see is Greece. And then the seven, Daniel 7:7, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. So even though iron is a cheaper ore, it's a stronger ore. It also lasts the longest. And when you go through Daniel 2, you'll find that it lasts all the way until the return of Jesus Christ. This was always the known power. And to believe that Rome was dead, and we'll see in Revelation, it wasn't dead. It was severely wounded, and it begins to be resurrected. Now, the images. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you a little story. I just thought about when I met with all those people. I was sitting at lunch with one of the gentlemen, and he was talking about our special, and he was trying to get it to as many people as he could because he thought it was very good. And he asked me what else were we working on. And I told him, I said, well, what I'm working on right now is the Holy Roman Revival. And he wouldn't touch that. He says, I'm not going there. He said, I've had friends of mine who've tried to touch that subject. Some of them come up dead. He says, I'm not going there. I'm not touching that subject. And he shut me down. Called it to a quits, and he was gone. I mean, I was like, wow. So so I was really shocked. All right, getting back into this. All right, so the beast now in Revelation 13:17 takes on different forms. But this is the key. Because this is what we need to understand that's going to begin to motivate and to rule everything. And I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-covered beast whose names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So that beast's power is going to be ridden by the woman who's going to control everything at the end time. So now, the prophecies coming together. Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, and Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. They all merge at the time of the end and all begins to rear its head. I believe it just began rearing its head back in 2015. Now, if you've been following the sequences of what we've been going through, you understand this picture is the Pope at the UN in 2015. And he targeted everything he's going after. He went to the United States, and he sat in the White House on the Day of Atonement. Then he went the next day to our government bodies, to the legislatures, and he spoke before them. Then he went to the UN, who's in the United States, and he spoke to the whole world, telling what he's going to do. And then before he left, he went to Philadelphia, the roots of our nation. And he spent a day and a half there, and he got on his plane, and this is significant, and he left the country just before sunset at the Feast of Tabernacles was about to begin. It was amazing. In other words, God let him come in, representing that Holy Roman Revival, targeting who he's going after, but he had to leave before Tabernacles because he will not be here during the millennial reign. I thought that was significant. So while the rest of the world and everybody I sat down and I talked to and went through all these interviews who believed that it was Jesus Christ returning, we turned, and you'll see that in our special, we began to focus on the Holy Roman Revival because that's where it was going. So now, let's look at a couple of the charts right quick to see where we are. So what everything I've been bringing you and pointing to in the charts was always around 2020 because that was the point of time, the decade of change. So somewhere between there in the 2030 agenda with the Pope and the prophecy that tells us after 2 days, we'll be revived and the third day dwell in his sight. All that evolves around this period of time between 2030 and 31. Whether Christ comes back that time or not, I don't know. But the prophecies seem to indicate that they will. So now, I've been looking lately at some of the information, look at some of the heavenly signs between now and in the 30s, 32, 34, 36. There's a number of things that are happening, especially in 2024, with that next big eclipse coming through, was going to cross in the middle where the country was, where the first one went through. Quite interesting about what's going on there. That's in 2024, right here. I don't know what significance that plays in the role of the return of Jesus Christ, but God says at the end time there'll be heavenly signs. So now, we take our 7 years of lean, is what we talked about, from the heavenly signs here in 2017 to 2024, the next election, right? We've seen 7 years, so we began to ask the question, the 7 years bringing us to 2024 of plenty to the 7 years of lean. There's no doubt we're going to go into the 7 years of lean. Now they're beginning to say that could be as early as 2022. And I think there's enough evidence to say that probably will be in 2022. 2024 was the Miskey moment, remember? We talked about the Miskey moment is when you're no longer paying your debt. All you're doing is paying the interest on the debt. So it becomes like a Ponzi scheme. But that was before COVID. So everything has shifted. They said the U.S. was five away from the national debt spiral. That was in 2019 when that came out by the federal government. So according to the Treasury Department, they said, the government is just 5 years away from the point where every new dollar it borrows from the public would go toward funding interest payments on the national debt. That was before at least $10 trillion ago. $10 trillion ago. So where are we now? We're probably there already. But we won't know until they give us another report. The coronavirus changed everything, and I think that was the wake-up call for the church. And if the church is still sitting back there thinking they got plenty of time, it's always been this way, I don't know how you're going to wake them up. I have no idea how you wake them up. That shifted all the way time into what I thought is around 2022. So all of this took place in 2020 as you began to hear the reinventing or the re-education of the world. All that taking place back in 2020, what was going on. And that was done before COVID. They began to announce these things. So now let's look at this. Let's move everything else away. Let's see what we got now. 2022. 2022 is going to be significant because the 2022 is a Shemitah year. When you look back at history for centuries, you will find in almost every case the major changes in governments either centered on a Shemitah seventh year or the first year into the next Shemitah, the next Shemitah cycle of 7 years. That's why everybody was so alert in 2015. This is why I think there will be again in 2022. But by this time, you're going to have a different Holy Roman Church. They're going to be out in the forefront teaching and educating the world like we've never seen before. He's already gathered, and we brought this out. I won't bring it today. It'll be into the next one. But the Pope has already gathered enough countries that has 200 million employees. 200 million employees bringing in trillions and trillions of dollars every single year. That's already beginning. That, I believe, is the forming of the second beast that's going to be cutting forth. All right, God says he's going to cut time short. Matthew 24 said, if he didn't cut time short, no flesh would be saved. So that's, again, confidence for you and I that he's going to cut time short. So now, the 7 years of plenty. What if the 7 years of plenty wasn't from 17 to 24? What if the 7 years of plenty, because there's plenty. You know they got so much money right now that they've approved to give out? I mean, we don't have it. I mean, they print it. But they approved to give it out. They can't give it out fast enough. They've printed up so much or approved so much that now they're taking some of it they haven't used yet, trying to appropriate it into the new bills to use it there. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. That's so much money that's out there right now. You talk to most people, they're not getting ahead, but they're okay because they've been government giving them money. In fact, they'll just live on government money because they're making more with that than working. So now, what if the 7 years of lean was 2015 to 2022? Not 17 to 2024. That moves everything up on the time schedule. It also fits the concern of being a Shemitah year in 2022. So that moves us into 2029. There's 7 years. So the Shemitah years, if you're going to look for what they are, they're 2015, 2022, and 2029. Major shifts in time, you can center around these three time cycles. Does it have to happen in those time cycles? No. Which, when you look back, you see the World War II ended in 1945. To meet the year. The United States began in 1776 to meet the year. How about when the Germans began to kill all the Jews? 1938, Kristallnacht, meet the year. Then you get a couple others we've talked about before, 2001, 2008, 2015. So now let's look at the blessings and cursings real fast that goes into all of this. He says, and if you are yet for all of this, hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. This is very important, the seven times. In 2001, the Twin Towers came down with the walls of protection removed. 2008, the economic collapse of the United States. If it hadn't been for the United States printing money and coming together with other countries around the world, it could have collapsed right there. 2015, in the gay marriage. While the whole world was focused on some economic collapse, God was looking at the spiritual collapse of the nation. What if God gave us 7 years to repent of that? That puts you at 2022. And since the nation isn't repenting, it's only getting worse. What if God said, okay, that's it. If you've had your chance, it's time to draw it to a close. For the elect's sake, I'm going to shorten time. Then, of course, there's two more Shemitah years after that. But when you look at Shemitah years, there's so much relevance to that. That's what's called times of release. It's also the time when they're not supposed to plant. That's, you know, when the nation lets the land rest. Remember Israel and Judah. They went into captivity. And Judah says you're going to stay there for 70 years because you didn't let the land rest. So you didn't give your land the seven rests. We're going to give you rest all at one time now. 70 years before they took them out. Let the land rest. Disobedience to God. There's another thing, though, you need to go back and bring into remembrance now things that we understood that you forget about when you think about the beast. The number eight. So the number eight is the beginning or new beginnings. We covered that in Pentecost. Eight, that's always outside the sevens, remember, into eternity. Eight is always the number of new beginnings. We actually used this chart with some of our guests when we began to do out of the mouth of two witnesses. This is what we did with Mark Bills. We actually designed a chart for each one of our guests on the specialties that they worked on, that we can discuss this in the chart. So you had that we brought out, that Mark Bills accurately brought forward, there were eight times that the blood moon tetrads fell on God's holy days. And these were the dates. The eighth time was 2014, 2015, the time of new beginnings. And we said back then, and I believe we're still accurate with that, time will tell, is that we believe that was the beginning of God bringing to an end, starting the new phase of ushering in the return of Jesus Christ. 2014, 2015, that was the eighth time that he fell on the holy days, four blood moons, on the holy days since Jesus Christ. The Shemitahs were tied to events. Then we went in and we talked about the events of what was taking place. 2015, when we developed this, we didn't know yet. And I didn't want to change it today. I want to show you how God brings us, walks us through every step of the way. See here? We didn't know. I brought it out with a question mark. I sat down and talked to each one of our guests. What can you tell me about 2015? They said, this is what we think might happen. Because nobody knew. Nobody knew. We had a better understanding by the end of that year before we got to the fall, because that's when we focused on the Holy Roman Revival. As soon as we heard that the Pope was coming and what day he's coming in, it was like laser. I mean, it just focused, right? We knew what was going to happen then. We also knew something else. It wasn't the collapse of America yet, because you see, we haven't reached the point where the beast had evolved and woke up. It was only beginning to rear its head. But when you see the beast in full power, you know you're getting closer. So now, the possible Jubilee, well, if you knew the Jubilees, you might know exactly when Christ is going to return. In 1917, when God began to reestablish the nation of Judah, or Israel again, Israel retook the center control of Jerusalem in 1967, and then from that time on, in 1973, was the beginning of our first national sin by the government approving abortion. So now, what are we looking at? From 57, from 1967 to 2017, this is how things began to wake you up. You had the heavenly sign. And it said, well, maybe that's when Christ is going to return, because that could be a jubilee, but nobody knew. And of course, when now we're in 2021, it wasn't. So you begin to look at all these things, but what were they doing? They're all pointing to fine-tuning where you are today. What has never developed yet, that's developing now, is the resurrection of that beast in action. We also talked about the Shemitah tied into crisis from 1973. Look at 2001. God removing our walls, our hedge of protection. 2008, removing our financial protection in our network of this country. And 2015 was the question mark. Looking back, we know for sure what happened there. Our nation has changed in the last 7 years beyond belief what's going on. Then, of course, we brought this in 2022, but we had no idea. We had said, well, is that when Christ is going to return? So now, back to that chart. I told you we'd use it one more time. So now, we got a little bit of time. So this is where we are today. This is where we're looking at. Is God going to bring the end time much closer? He could, because of 2022, but we don't know. So now, let's look at this. Let's bring in where I believe the end time, the eighth blood moon tetrad, all come into play, 2014 to 2015. We have our heavenly signs in 2017, and now the Shemitah years, you have them coming forward. Now, I recommend, if you haven't seen them, I think there's four sermons here, The Day of the Lord Revisited. It's all online. You can get that. Go and take a look and revisit those messages. You're going to put a lot of information where all this stuff is coming from. So now we got to 2015, as we said before, 2022. And, of course, 2029. Within these periods of time, if 2022 God decides to take the blessings away from the nation and begin our 7 years of lean, it will not take long for the nation to go down and American people to begin to suffer financially. They're developing an anger and a hatred in this country that will not be quenched. You're going to see a civil strife of white, black, black, white, Spanish, yellow. You see, no matter what the news seems to go after, all of a sudden there's an attack on those people. Like the Chinese recently. Those poor people didn't do anything other than live in this country. They didn't create that Wuhan virus. That's been done by government officials. Probably sponsored in some part, even if not directly, indirectly, from the United States. Unbelievable what's going on, but here's what you need to understand. If you don't have God's protection when this all begins to go down, heaven help you. Because you see, when that begins to go down, the finances will go down because people are not putting money away. They're not taking care of themselves financially. There's bills out there to buy new cars, houses are out of control, their prices are going up. Unbelievable. As the amount of money keeps being put out, the amount of debt keeps growing. It's a never-ending bag with a hole in it. And people are going to get hungry. The supply chains are being shot down right now. You can't get what you used to get anymore. You go to the stores and the shelves are half empty in many places. They're just not stocking. You talk to people, they said, I can't get it. I hope you're waking up to all of this. All of these things are just the beginning of what's about to take place. Right? Now, this is Revelation 2 and 3. I believe we are still there. In the sermons, The Day of the Lord, the reason I brought it out is because when you understand the Day of the Lord begins in John 1, it doesn't begin in John 5 or 6. John 1, 10 says, I was in the day of the Lord. Remember? What's the first thing he said? Go to the churches and tell them. Every church had something they had to repent of, except the Philadelphia church. So that's why everybody wants to be the Philadelphia church, because they're the only perfect ones there. Everybody else had a problem they had to work on. But the first thing that God said, now go tell them. Why? Because this was about to begin. So God was giving them a chance to wake up, set the house in order, repent of what they were doing, return to their first love, and focus on Jesus Christ. I believe we're there right now. Why? Because it could be in 2022 you begin to see the deterioration of this nation. They're talking about that right now around the rest of the world. I hope you're paying attention. May not begin 2022, but there's a real good chance by the end of 2022, things are not going to look really good for the United States. All right. Daniel 7, 24 and 25. The 10 horns out of the kingdom were 10 kings, and they shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. And we'll cover that. And who shall speak great words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That is the key and why he's going to be resurrected. That is the entire focus of the beast at the end time. I showed you that last week in exposing the elect, why that's so important. He's going to think to change times and laws that shall be given into his hand until a time, and the dividing time. That's the 3.5 years of the tribulation. So we ask the question, how do we go from a free constitutional society to the conditions in Daniel 7:25? How do you go from a free nation like, well, you got a little taste of it. Look what COVID did. People couldn't go to church. Up in Canada, they still arrested people for going to church. This is unbelievable what's going through. Two things were going to have to happen for all this to take place. One, our protection from the Constitution would have to be removed. And two, the beast of Revelation 13 would have to rise. And so one of it said, as it were wounded into death, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, in case you're looking at this sermon, you wonder where it's come from. The nation that got what it asked for. That's where I first mentioned this. That this would have to happen. I had no idea. 6 months later, I'm telling you, that has just happened. What was needed, the removing of your protection from the Constitution, and what it needed to resurrect the beast, I believe has just happened. They worshiped the dragon, they gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast saying, who is unlike the beast, who is able to make war with him. This is the revival of the deadly wound that began in 1929. It was called the Lateran Treaty. Now I'm talking about the beast. Beginning to see its resurrection, even though it's laid on its deathbed now since 1929, the Pope in the Catholic Church has almost been insignificant in so many of the events in the world. That's about to change. The agreement between Italy and Benito Mussolini and the Holy See under Pope Pius XI reestablished the papal state as their own nation. Self-governing and sovereign, as stated in one of the Lateran Pacts of 1929. It long settled the standing of the question of governance for almost 80 years. They tried to come back into its own state 80 years before, and it never happened. It happened in 1929. Now, 1929 is very significant. We know it here because of the economic collapse of the United States in the stock market, right? So begin to look at the duality of events, what began to resurrect that beast there, coming back into power when the United States began to collapse. When the United States loses its financial status, which it will do again, maybe as early as 22, you will begin to see that power rise up greater than ever before in modern times. The 1929 Lateran Treaty, also called the Lateran Pact, with the Vatican became an independent state. It was effective on June 7, 1929. It was between Italy and the Vatican. Then it was signed by Benito Mussolini for the Italian government and led by Cardinal Secretary of the State, Pietro Gasparino, for the papacy. It was confirmed by the Italian Constitution. And of all years, 1948, which was the establishment of Israel. These are not coincidental events. He comes into power, he gets his own state, when the United States is destroyed, at the same time Hitler begins to move into power. He's getting ratified on the very year that Israel becomes the state of its own. I mean, if we can't see what God has put together for us, we're blind as bats. Now, the treaty, upon ratification of the Lateran Treaty, as people recognized that the state of Italy, with Rome as its capital, in return recognized the papal sovereignty over the Vatican City, is a minute territory of approximately 109 acres. That's it. You think Israel's small? Look how small the Vatican is. It was secured full independence for the Pope. Nobody can touch Vatican City. They're protected. But they're going to fight in Israel and Jerusalem. It was also the year of our stock market crash. It was also the year, the beginning of Hitler's rise to power. You're going to see all this come in play again as soon as the United States begins to lose its power. All right, now I'm about to wrap it up for today. Revelation 13, 1929, the Lateran Treaty. We see 1929, which the head of the beast of 13, Revelation 13, 3, revived. Come back to life. It's revived. It isn't resurrected. It's not off that deathbed yet, but it has come back to life. 1929 is the Great Depression. It's also the beginning of the collapse of the Weimar Republic and begins to bring people into turn to Hitler and the Nazi Party. Who helped them out of the Great Depression that they had? Hitler. Germany again is rising to power. By the way, what the United States just did with President Biden, he just gave power to Russia to finish the pipeline to bring oil into the EU through Germany, giving them the power and the control, as well as the military might they want to begin building, back in their hands today. And do you realize that while we shut down our pipelines, and you're shutting down what we need to develop, the United States is buying more oil from Russia right now than we did in years. Are you aware of that? That's going on right now. And we're going to bring it out in News and Nuggets next week. We're buying oil from Russia. While we shut down our pipelines and moving oil, we go buy from them and give them permission to do what? To give Germany will be the control through the pipeline into the EU. He who controls the oil controls the money. Now, 538. Now, this is really important to understand the duality of the 1260 days and the end time with the Roman Church. And it won't take long, and then I'll bring this to a close. From 538 to 1798 is 1260 years. Sound familiar? Remember the end time, the 1260 days, the 3.5 years? A day is a year. All right? 1260 years. So from 538, when Rome defeats the Ostrogoths, until the Constitution is in full ratification in the United States, the 1260 years, Rome is in control. The Constitution was in 1787, but it did not get fully ratified until the last state did in 1798. The 13th Colony agrees to the Constitution in 1798. During that period of time, it's called Justinian Code. The law was by Rome. Rome appears to be setting the laws today for the end time. One more time. 2020, the constitutional law begins now to be challenged because, see, your constitutional rights, whether you believe it or not, they're all up in the air. Because, you see, there's constitutional laws that are not being protected right now. Didn't matter whether it's on the books or not. Revelation 13:7, we're going to see the 1260 days. So you have the duality of time, the former 1,200 days a year, 1,260 years to the end time, the tribulation coming. Again, all centering around Rome. Everything that has to happen, what we've been waiting for, while they're waiting for armies to surround Jerusalem, it isn't about that to begin with. It's about Rome right now. That's what's important. Because you see, you can't have the 3.5 year tribulation and attacking the elect if the power of Rome isn't in control. So you see, everything we've been looking for has sidetracked where we need to focus. The focus is upon what's going on right now with the revival of Rome. and the collapse of the United States. Rome rule is removed and the United States Constitution comes into existence. Why is the Constitution under attack? Because Rome cannot go after God's people if the Constitution is protected. We need to remember that. That's why this is so important. Why do you think they always want to change the Constitution? To give power back to the beast. I always thought this was phenomenal, what God did here. The USS Constitution was the first American warship to protect our shores. Isn't that amazing? The USS Constitution, protecting our hedges. The Constitution. Spiritually, it's the same way. You saw the former with Adolf Hitler from 1929 all the way to 1945, the killing of the Jews. There's coming one more killing, the killing of Israelites. But you see, God's telling us in advance, this is coming. This is where we went last week. I brought this out, the beast power of Revelation. I asked the question, did President Biden just propose the beginning of America's own destruction? I believe, from what you have seen today, I believe he has. And next time, in part two, I will show you how he has. In part two, on the resurrection of the beast.